Year 12 students across the state have entered the waiting time. There may be one or two final language exams, but most students have now finished all their VCE exams. However, they haven't yet got their results. The work is done, but the results are not yet received. That's a similar experience to the season of Advent. Advent means coming. And it's a time of both looking back to the first coming of Jesus and looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. It's a waiting time. Waiting times are emotionally charged because so much has already been achieved, but there's still a longing for future fulfillment. During waiting times, we can experience surprising growth and insight and maturation. Because we reflect on what we want to take from our past and how it will shape the future. Advent invites us to consider how the year that is coming to a close has shaped us and what we're longing for in the new year ahead, and how Jesus is the turning point in history, and so how he also is the turning point in each step of faith that we take. This Advent, in our church families of St. Alfred's and St. Luke's, we want to explore Advent through music. We often employ theme words like love, hope, peace, and joy during Advent, and those words will come up. But this year, having been through a year of anxiety, of loss, loneliness, stress, and hardship, the music of Advent is going to help us connect not just intellectually with what God has done and is doing, but it will help us connect emotionally and relationally to God's work in us, in history, in our church, and in the world. Music engages our senses and our memories and our emotions in a unique way. It's different to reading or hearing the spoken word. And so the hymns and songs of Advent that we're going to explore over the next 4 weeks will lead us into, I hope, a new appreciation of God's grace that is revealed at Christmas. This week, we begin with probably the best known Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. It captures the emotional weight of what it is like to be in exile, yearning for a rescue, a way home. The waiting time of being caught between the now and the not yet is captured in each verse. Each verse begins with a plea for the coming of the Messiah, and it draws on various messianic titles. And then each verse ends with a refrain, "Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel will come to thee, O Israel." So it's plight and solution, calling out and response. And that's the dynamic that the hymn so eloquently expresses. The plight, the problem that all humanity, this is not just a problem that Israel faced, this plight is described as exile, as captivity, a kind of mourning. We're under Satan's tyranny and the power of the grave, darkness, night, and divisions. But in every verse, the answer to our plight is the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. And so verse 1 opens, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. This portrait of humanity's state apart from Christ is thoroughly biblical. Much of the imagery is drawn from Isaiah, who wrote words of comfort to the nation of Israel that was exiled from its homeland by a foreign oppressor. We've heard from Isaiah 35, and there's a combination there of present pain contrasted with promised rescue. God's people in Isaiah 35 are described as being in a desert, a wilderness in verse 1. They have feeble hands and unsteady knees and fearful hearts in verses 3 and 4. There are predators like lions prowling around in verse 9. Life is a misery, and God's people are calling out for a deliverer, a Messiah, who would rise up and lead them back to their home. And then verse 10 says that is what the Lord will do. He will rescue his people, and they'll enter Zion with singing, and gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So despair and then deliverance. O come, Emmanuel expresses this dual perspective of groaning under suffering, paired with the assurance and joy of knowing God is coming to set things right. And so Israel is not just the historical nation of Israel. Israel in the hymn stands for God's people in every age. The hymn describes God's intervention by using seven titles for the Messiah in the full hymn. Now, we're just going to look at four of them today, four or five images of God's promised rescuer king. In verse 1, he is Emmanuel. And this comes from Isaiah 7 and 8, a promised child whose name in Hebrew means God with us. He's more than a prophet who speaks from God. He's more than a king who leads with God's strength. He's more than a priest who represents humanity to God and God to humanity. Emmanuel says God is no longer far off. Humanity doesn't need to assert their own goodness or worthiness to climb up to heaven. Emmanuel says God is with us. God will come to us in glorious, personal, particular form. As it's put in John's gospel, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then in the second verse of the hymn, it says, O come thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Dayspring is a lovely old English word that means dawn. And in Luke chapter 1, the song of Zechariah, we read, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun, the day spring, will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. Now, Australia's been spared the devastating death tolls of coronavirus overseas. But even so, there have been significant hardships that people have faced. Lockdown-induced depression and loneliness. There have been far too many jobs lost. The inability to gather for weddings and funerals, for some graduations or birthdays or anniversaries. These have cast a dark shadow over the year. But whatever the source of our darkness, whether it comes from ill health or addiction or relational breakups, Jesus shines light into the gloom. When we see the sparkling lights of Christmas, think of the bright morning star, Jesus, the light of the world, whose victory over the grave means that our future is bright. Emmanuel came to disperse the clouds of night and put death's dark shadows to flight. In a following verse, he is wisdom from on high. And this picks up imagery from Isaiah 11 and also many parts of Proverbs. The Messiah will embody wisdom, which includes justice and compassion and godliness and suffering, because he lives in the fear of the Lord and he lives in obedience to God's word. And so we think of wisdom and this Advent. If you need to balance your work and other aspects of life, if you need to grow in compassion and truth and commitment to the common good, These are all aspects of wisdom. And if you want to do that, look to Jesus, who is wisdom in flesh, wisdom from above. Fourth, Jesus is described as the desire of nations, who binds all peoples in one heart and mind. He bids envy, strife, and quarrels to cease, and he will fill the whole world with heaven's peace. This is once more rich imagery from the Bible. And it makes me think of the promised King of Israel, who will be a focal point, not just for the nation of Israel, but who will be the hope and desire of all nations. This idea of the desire of nations, it reflects the idea that people from all over the world will come flocking to Jerusalem in pilgrimage at the end of days. They'll be attracted by the blessing, the peace, the goodness of life that God's people are experiencing. And so we as Israel in this hymn and as God's people today, as we are unified in the gospel, as we are people growing in godliness, as we are people of peace and justice, as we demonstrate that in action, that's like a beacon for a hurting world to see how good it is to live the way that God intended. And so he draws people in. There's another verse which we're not singing in just a moment, but it's in one of the traditional forms of the hymn. O come, thou key of David, come. And it looks to a prophecy in Isaiah 22, and also, it's mentioned in Revelation 3, the idea that God's chosen one will give access to the city, to the temple, and the kingdom. While our society so frequently excludes people based on appearance or possessions or their past, Jesus is able to unlock and open the door to a new future as a citizen of his kingdom. And so the hymn in this verse proclaims, open wide our heavenly home and make safe the way that leads on high and close the path to misery. It's a powerful invitation to let Jesus determine your future and no longer be bound by past failures or hurts or wrongs. Many of us might be opening our doors to visitors or being welcomed as a visitor to another's home for the first time in many, many months. And reconnecting with friends in their homes, that gives us a tiny glimpse, a tiny taste of the heavenly welcome that Jesus unlocks for us. And that too is something wonderful to look forward to this Advent. Jesus, our key. And what we see through all these titles is God's answer to humanity's need. God sends Emmanuel, himself in human form, God with us, as wisdom, as new dawn, as the desire of nations, as the key of David. He embodies all that God offers to a people in confusion, hurt, and darkness. Whatever your exile, whatever your experience of oppression, whatever clouds have made your life gloomy, this hymn invites you to lift them to God. It's all right to feel the grief of being away from home, but also know that you are in a waiting time. God has heard. Jesus has come and he is the answer to your plight. And remember the last verse. Jesus is the desire of nations. He is the answer to everyone's deepest need. Whatever your ethnicity, whatever your gender, whatever your age or status or income or your religious background or your non-religious background, Jesus is the one who God has sent to be his presence with you. He is God's personal answer to the cry of every heart. Can you hear me, God? Do you care about what I'm going through, God? God answers, yes, I care so much. I am coming to be with you. You can see me in the flesh. There's no more ISO, cut off from God. No more quarantine to make yourself clean enough. No more fear of death or darkness because the dawn has come. Death's dark shadows are put to flight. The door to heaven is thrown open and Emmanuel will make safe the way that leads on high. But we're still in a waiting time. We're caught between the promise and the fulfillment. Emmanuel has come, but he's yet to come again to complete his work in us and in the world. And because we do still live in a world where a pandemic can claim hundreds of thousands of lives, where wars still rage, where divorce still happens, where bullies still terrorize, where sin still ensnares us, it says in Romans 8, the whole created order is groaning as it waits eagerly for full redemption. The Christian writer John Piper puts it like this. The Christian life oscillates between these two poles, the overflowing joy of the already redeemed and the tearful yearning of the not yet redeemed. Not that we ever leave one or the other in this life. We are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. O come, Emmanuel, speaks to that waiting time with its sadness and its minor key, and also its triumphant and glorious promise that Emmanuel will come to thee, O Israel. It draws us in to acknowledge our hope in the midst of ongoing suffering and struggles. And in the midst of this messy, unredeemed world, it shouts the good news. Emmanuel shall come. He has come and he's coming again. This Advent, may we all make ready our hearts and our lives to long for his coming and his full and final victory. Amen.